Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Near the end of his earthly life, Jesus talked to his disciples about a faith in God that can move mountains. His twofold exhortation was simple and to the point. If you are going to follow Jesus as Lord, then you must have faith in God and walk in forgiveness of others. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 11 and join Pastor Ray as he discusses verses 20 through 26.
Mark 11, 20 through 26. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father, which also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So we're going to talk about fig trees, faith, and forgiveness. Bear in mind, as we work our way through the first part of the study this morning, that in Jeremiah 24, the nation of Israel is pictured by two baskets of figs, one good, one evil. In Joel chapter 1, verse 7, God, speaking of Israel, says, They have laid my vine waste, they have barked my fig tree. In Matthew 24, verses 32 and 33, and in a passage of Scripture that I'm going to read in a moment from Luke chapter 13, Jesus himself uses the fig tree as a picture of Israel. You recall where we left off? That Jesus saw a fig tree with leaves but no fruit the day before, and he cursed it. And so verse 20 brings us to the morning the next day. They passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Peter has the gift of revealing the obvious. The Blue Letter Study Bible says this, Matthew informs us that this tree grew by the wayside and therefore was not private but public property, so that the destruction of it really injured no one. Our Lord was pleased to make use of this miracle to prefigure the speedy ruin of the Jewish nation on account of its unfruitfulness under greater advantages than any other people enjoyed at that day. And like the rest of his miracles, it was done with a gracious intention to alarm his countrymen and induce them to repent. Hardly what you and I have been taught Palm Sunday was all about. This is hardly a triumphal entry. This event is the first thing that Jesus does after his cleansing the temple. And reading there that the scribes and the chief priests now had had enough of him. They're out to destroy him. Our Lord's condemning of the fig tree and his cleansing of the temple were both symbolic acts that illustrated the sad spiritual condition of the nation of Israel. Warren Wiersbe in his B series commentary says this, quote, like the fig tree our Lord cursed, Israel had nothing but leaves. Note that the tree dried up from the roots. 3 years before, John the Baptizer had put the axe to the roots of the tree, but the religious leaders would not heed his message. Whenever an individual or a group dries up spiritually, it is usually from the roots. Where are your roots this morning? Where are my roots? As Bible-believing followers of Jesus, this teaches us that Jesus is looking for authentic faith and corresponding fruit in our lives, not the fig leaves of profession, hypocrisy, and outward forms of godliness that lack transforming power on the inside. I had mentioned Luke chapter 13, and in Luke 13, Jesus taught, and I'm going to read the passages, the necessity of repentance, but he taught it in connection with a teaching on a fig tree. Listen to this, Luke 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that died and that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why encumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till it shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that you shall cut it down. Now, when we get into chapter 12 in a few weeks, I'll be looking at the cursing of the fig tree and the Israel connection more in depth. Let me add one point here that I think is very, very important. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, the nation of Israel is called there the good olive tree. They are called there the natural branches. And that whole chapter speaks of the future of the nation Israel and its prophetic place in the purposes of God. And I say that because there are some that teach that Jesus is through with the Jewish nation, and that the church has replaced Israel as the chosen people of God. And that is what is known as replacement theology. But the Bible is very clear. God has not forsaken the Jews. God is not through with the Jews. There's only a remnant that are saved now. But the church has not replaced Israel. The best for Israel and the worst for Israel, sad to say, is yet to come. So Jesus replies to Peter saying, the fig tree that you cursed is dug up by the roots. And he says in verse 22 to all of them, have faith in God. What a reply. Have faith in God. David Guzik writes, Jesus explained that this miracle was really the result of a prayer made in faith, and he encouraged his marveling disciples to have this kind of faith, trusting that God would hear them also. Jesus is revealed in Scripture as being fully man and fully God. And Jesus, as Son of Man, was a man like us, yet without sin, but a man of prayer, a man who spent time in communion with the Father as our example. Using Greek transliterations, Jesus was really saying that we must have the God kind of faith. Faith in God is what Jesus said when he says, have faith. He's saying, have faith in God. Now, there are those who teach that we are to have faith in our faith. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible never tells us to have faith in our faith. The Bible tells us to have faith in God. The Bible always talks about the object of our faith. I don't know about you, but I don't have any faith in me. And I don't have any faith in my faith that goes up and down and up and down and up and down. The Bible tells us to have faith in God. Now, I suspect that some of you may be dealing with issues this morning that are troublesome or difficult or hard. Let me ask you, whatever that crisis is, whatever that need is, for some of you, it may be something physical, maybe something medical, something relational, something financial. My exhortation to you this morning, saints, is have faith in the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Have faith in God. Jesus came down from the mountain praying, and there was a father who had given his son, who was critically ill and under demonic oppression, to his disciples. And the disciples could not help this man. And so the father brought the boy to Jesus. And the father said to Jesus, if you can do anything, help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. If you can believe. If you can believe who I am, if you can believe why I've come, if you can believe, all things are possible. And then Jesus, in verse 23, says these words that are quoted out of context in the most tragic way, but yet they're here in the scriptures. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. John MacArthur in his study Bible writes this, quote, this expression was related to a common metaphor of that day, rooter up of mountains, which was used in Jewish literature of great rabbis and spiritual leaders who could solve difficult problems and seemingly do the impossible. And so we get the point here. In Jewish imagery, and according to Jesus, a mountain signifies something that is strong and immovable, an obstacle, a problem that is far beyond your ability and my ability to handle. Do any of you have any of those going on today? Yes, I do. I call it life. And I believe that Jesus is also saying this. Sometimes the mountain is the unbelief that is inside of my very own heart that needs to be rebuked. Now, it's unfortunate when the words of Jesus are disregarded or explained away because of their abuse by religious extremists. And that has happened. There are people that would say to you that if I had faith, I could say to this church building, be thou removed and go to Florida. And you guys would say, yeah, do it right now, Pastor. That's not what Jesus is saying here. But Jesus did talk to us and tell us of the importance of having faith in God. Remember, it says in Psalm 78 that one of the sins of Israel was that they limited the Holy One. They limited God. And I wonder how often you and I limit God. I wonder how often you and I project our weaknesses, our failures upon God, who has no weaknesses, who has no failures. Listen to a couple of other passages of Scripture. In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Luke 17:6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, beloved, Mark 11:23, Matthew 17:20, Luke 17:6 are the words of Jesus Christ, not Kenneth Copeland, not Joel Osteen. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And so don't let the abuse or misuse of these scriptures hinder you and I from hearing from the Lord today. He's telling you and he's telling me, have faith in me. Trust in me. Look to me. And then in verses 24 through 26, Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, actually, you know, standing in prayer was the typical traditional Jewish posture of prayer. You see them at the wailing wall, and they're wailing back and forth. That was their standing prayer. When they were on their knees, that's when they would be making intense petitions like Jesus in the garden. So when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And so Jesus here, now, after telling us to have faith in God, faith in his Father, tells us that there are two things that are critical in the life of the believer. Two things that are critical as far as us wanting to find answers to prayer. Or let's just say two things that hinder prayer. One is unbelief or a lack of faith in God. And two is the refusal to forgive others. Now, you know this. On any given topic, what we need to do is look at all of Scripture to find out what the totality of Scripture has to say about a topic. Before we move on to learn what Jesus says here about prayer and then faith and then forgiveness, it's important for us to remember that this is not the only lesson that Jesus ever gave on prayer, nor is it all that the Bible says about prayer. Confident praying is that which is rooted, what? In the will of God and according to the purposes of God. Prayer is never offered up to change God. Prayer is never trying to get God to do my will. Prayer is to seek God's will in my life. The Apostle John wrote it this way in 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so prayer is to be offered up with faith in God, with confidence in God. But unbelief hinders the work of God. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was ministering on earth, he went to a few places and he says he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. We read in Hebrews chapter 3 and in Hebrews chapter 4 that is a commentary on the 40-year wilderness journey. God told Israel, I will bring you into the promised land. One whole generation did not make it into the promised land. Why? It wasn't the giants. It was unbelief in the faithfulness of God. It was unbelief in the promises of God. Paul the apostle at one time was a radical, zealous, religious person. And when he gave his testimony in Timothy, he says, I did those things ignorantly in unbelief. Unbelief, beloved, is a sin. Unbelief hinders and quenches the word of God in our life. Galatians 5 tells us that among the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Faith in God. Faith in the character of God. Faith in the promises of God. Faith in God. Faith in God. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so faith is the confidence that God is going to hear me. Christ has made the way possible. We have access to the Lord in prayer this morning. It's done. And faith is having confidence in God's wisdom, God's will, God's love, and in God's timing. Now, we may lay out our heart's requests, and yet, as Jesus taught us in the garden, we end those prayers this way. Not my will, but thy will be done. And if you can't pray, not my will, but thy will be done, then you don't want the will of God, and you will not get an answer to prayer. Hebrews 11:6 tells us how vital faith is. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently, earnestly, sincerely, seriously. It is faith in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that not only moves mountains in our lives, but secondly, also turns our cold, bitter, and hard hearts into warm, tender, and forgiving hearts. That's one of the miracles of the gospel. God gives you and me a new heart, a heart that now places trust in the God that redeemed me, and a heart now that can forgive others who hurt me. Maybe that is just for the people that will be coming to the second service, so I'll just move on. But I don't think so. When Paul the Apostle wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said in chapter 4, verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." And notice, he now begins to list things that grieve the Spirit of God. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? What's the standard? Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is Thursday, March 21st. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.